Hebrews chapter 3. I'll read a little bit from chapter 3 and then try to get into chapter 4. This epistle is especially good for religious people, church-going people, because it's not the gospel as missionaries preach to the lost who have never heard the truth, but it is a message that is preached to those who have been brought up on the truth, but who may not as yet have genuinely embraced that truth. So let's look for a moment at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest perchance there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. Notice, he calls them brethren, but there may be false brethren, those that are unbelievers, even though they're in the congregation, in falling away from the living God, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. While it is said, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts, and so forth, and so on. Verse 19. And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Here is the promised land, and God said, enter, but they failed to enter in because of unbelief. Now, chapter 4. The contrast is between Israel of old, under Moses and Joshua, who left Egypt to go to the promised land, and now these Hebrews, who have outwardly pledged allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is the tendency to fall back to Judaism rather than remain steadfast to the Lord Jesus. Verse 1, chapter 4. Let us fear, therefore, lest perchance a promise being left of entering into his rest, God's rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united with faith with them that heard. Notice, James speaks about those that hear the word, but do not do the word. Here are some who hear the word, but do not mix what they hear with faith. Now, verse 3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. There are some who did not enter into God's rest. True believers enter into God's rest, even as he had said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he had said somewhere of the seventh day on this wise, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, they shall not enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some should enter thereinto, and they to whom the good tidings were before preached failed to enter in because of disobedience, he again defineth a certain day, today, saying in David so long a time afterward, even as hath been said before, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterward of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. The scripture gives us both comfort and warnings. For one who is afraid, the Bible says, that hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will support you. He will hold you fast. But then, the same book says, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And so side by side, for those that are humble and dependent upon God, there is the encouragement. For those that are proud, self-confident, God says, take heed lest you fall. So here is the situation that existed in the days of Hebrews. There were those to whom Jesus Christ had been preached, and they had pledged their allegiance to him. They had left their magnificent temple, Herod's temple, and gone and gathered together with despised, rejected, insignificant Jews who were followers of Jesus Christ. Now, at first, since the Lord Jesus had all the spiritual realities, that attraction was strong. But then their friends would come and say, where are you meeting? Oh, we are meeting in Ben Abraham's home, in his home. How many are there? Well, we might have 20 or 30 people. And they would laugh and say, this is where we meet, at Herod's temple. And we have thousands that come. Now, what material assurances do you have in Jesus? And they would say, none, only spiritual promises. And they would say, come and follow us, and you can have all the prestige that you left behind, all your friends that you left behind, all the security that you left behind. You can have all those things again. And these were the temptations for those Jews who had begun to follow Christ to go back to Judaism, to fall away from the living God. And that's why all these exhortations are given. Take heed, brethren, lest perchance there shall be in any one of you a heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. It's not just sin, a lie, misbehavior, but it's a renunciation of all that Jesus Christ stood for, and a going back to Judaism, which is a renunciation of the Savior, their Messiah, that they had embraced. And so this warning is driven home to their hearts. Take heed. Take heed. Now, notice, it says in verse 19, and we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. I can assure you two things. If you are a genuine believer in Christ, you will endure to the end. And if you are not a genuine believer in Christ, there will be no enduring to the end. So this is why these exhortations are given, to examine your hearts, to see if there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. And so we have to examine ourselves, search our souls to see if we are genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are liable to have this misconception. Notice at verse 1 again, chapter 4, let us fear, therefore, lest perchance a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as the Jews had unto them, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith by them that heard. Here is something that's so interesting. There are those who have not heard of God's salvation. How can they enter into God's rest? The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So here are some who have not heard, and because they have not heard, they do not enter into God's rest. And here are others who have this promise preached unto them, but they do not enter into God's rest because what they hear is not mixed, united with faith. And so the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. So the word of God is preached. And as the word of God is preached and the Spirit of God acts upon our hearts, We embrace the truth that is preached. And when that happens, we are genuine believers and we are among those that enter into God's rest. Or we may be as I was as a young boy. I heard the word of God that was preached and I joined the church, submitted to baptism, that later in life I examined my heart and I discovered that I had heard, but I did not believe. And I remember when the minister said to me, John Milton Mills, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, yes. And had he asked, why do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I would have said, anything you want me to believe in the Lord, because I did not understand that I was a sinner, and the good news was that I did not have to die in my sins and go to hell, that I could trust Christ as Savior and go to heaven. Now, understand, good news. Here is good news for the Jews in Egypt. You do not have to remain slaves in bondage to Pharaoh. You can be freed and go to the promised land. Think of that. Now, when they hear that promise, they are to mix that promise with faith and go forth. But they heard and they went forth, but they did not get into the promised land, because when they got near it, the spies came back with an evil report and said, yes, it's a good land, the way that God said, but the people in the land are giants. We are nothing but grasshoppers in comparison to them. We can't go into the promised land. God had already delivered them from Pharaoh and his power, but an evil heart of unbelief said, God cannot take us to the promised land. And so God said, you have said it, and that is going to be your judgment. You are not going into the promised land. Why did they not get in? Because the good news, the gospel that was preached unto them, they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Joshua and Caleb said, we can enter in. And God said, Joshua and Caleb, you shall enter in. And they did. The nation as a whole said, we cannot enter in. They had an evil heart of unbelief. And God said, you shall not enter in. And for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and their dead carcasses fell year after year. And so notice, to have started out, but not to have continued, why, that is a proof that the faith that initially was in you was not a God-given faith. It was, perhaps, an opportunist faith, because the faith that causes a man to enter in is a divine faith that is imparted by the Spirit of God, and that faith endures to the end. And now, the author of Hebrews is saying, let us fear. Why? Because just as Israel in Egypt had a promise made, but they did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Understand that God has made a promise to us. He has told us that we can be delivered from the bondage of sin, from the power of Satan, and heaven can be our home. Believe God. And yet some say, yes, and they start out, but they look back at the attractiveness of Herod's temple and all of their influential friends and the security that they had, the visible, tangible things of life, and the temptation was to forsake all the spiritual blessings in Christ that were by faith in the future and turn back to those material, earthly glories. And therefore, the gospel was preached to us as the gospel was preached to Israel. But the author says, if you turn back, then you will be like those Israelites who turn back, and you shall not enter into my rest. Now, I must explain this to you. There is more to the promises of God than the material things that he offers in his word, because it says this, if Joshua had given them rest, why, hundreds of years after Joshua and the Israelites that did get into the promised land had died, why did God say again to another group, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart? He says, do you not understand that there remaineth a rest for the people of God to enter into. And so you think, and you say, well, all of those material blessings that God held before the Israelites in the Old Testament, there was more contained in His promises than those material things? And the answer is yes. Because here is the promised land, and the Jews entered into the promised land. They stayed there. God gave them King Saul and King David and Solomon and kings until 586 B.C. But God said, you haven't entered into my rest. God has something more than the promised land to give to the people of God. And some people think that if we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and He does, and give us a happy life on earth, and He does, then God has exhausted all the blessings that He has for us. But this is what Paul says. He says, if in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I have hoped in Christ for this life, but my hope in Jesus Christ is for the life to come as well. I want to enter into God's rest. Now, I will show you this, and I will simplify it and not make you turn to it, but you will find that God has a threefold rest that is found in the Scripture, and all of them may genuinely be described as His rest. First of all, if you read in Deuteronomy, you will see that God speaks about entering into His rest, the promised land. You say, well, you just said that wasn't His rest. It's not His rest in its entirety. It's part of the rest. The material, earthly blessings that come from believing in God. The land, the promised land, yes, that was rest one. Then it speaks about the millennium when the Lord Jesus is going to come back and establish His kingdom. It says that the Lord Jesus shall sit upon the throne of His father David, and His disciples that faithfully followed Him on earth shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That is the millennium. That is entering into God's rest. But it says in the book of Revelation, I saw the heavens open, and I saw the holy city descending from heaven, from God. And that is the ultimate rest, God. And so for some who think that God has exhausted His blessings by giving health and strength and sustaining you through life, then that's only the beginning. I'm looking for the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come and do what that thief on the cross requested of Him. He said, Lord, remember me when Thou comest in Thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus is going to come in His kingdom, and Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth His successive journeys run. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and the Lord Jesus shall sit upon the throne of His father David. But then after 1,000 years of blessedness on earth, it says the holy city of God is coming down from heaven, and then all things shall be changed, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. I will read this to you. Listen carefully, because some have forgotten it. It says, and this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service both pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Notice, everything that we have here is going to be consumed by fire, and God says, I'm going to create new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. During the millennium, righteousness will reign. It shall be enforced by God. And whenever sin manifests itself, it will be immediately dealt with by the Savior. And there will be no false judgment. The Lord Jesus shall give justice and judgment throughout the earth. And then after that 1,000 years, God has shown what life could be to man on earth. And then all of these earthly things are to pass away. And God says in Isaiah 66 and in Revelation 3 and in Revelation 21 and 22, I saw a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And Peter says this, looking for a kingdom that cannot be dissolved, let us live faithfully to God. And so that is the entering in that the Lord is talking about. The entering into the earthly blessings, yes, I am so thankful that I pray every day, Father, give me this day my daily bread. Father, I need to be well. Lord, I need to be alert that I may feed your lambs and feed your sheep. I need all of these physical blessings every day. But at the same time, unless the Lord comes, I'm going to die. And so I need spiritual blessings. And I pray, Lord, let me be found abiding in thy Son, the Lord Jesus, when he comes. That when he comes, I may be bold. I may have boldness and not be ashamed at his coming. And then, Father, I thank you for that eternal home that your Son has prepared for me, that is mine, because I have believed the good news that was preached to me. So Lord Jesus made this promise. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is my ultimate destination. It is the Father's house in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And the Savior said this in his prayer to his Father. He said, Father, he said, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And the ultimate entering into that rest is when, without fear of sin, without fear of separation from God, in eternal bliss, I shall behold the love of the Father for the Son, and the Son for his saints, and I shall see the Lord Jesus in his glory. When he was on earth, only three saw him in his glory. Peter, James, and John were taken to the Mount of Transfiguration, and for an hour he appeared in glory. The nine other apostles down in the valley did not see him in glory. But the promise is this, that in the coming day, all who have genuinely trusted him as Savior, he said, I want them to be with me where I am. Thank God. He said, I'm going to my Father's house. That's in heaven, you see. And the Father's house is where he lives. He lives in that holy city. And thank God, that's where his saints, all that have genuinely believed on him, shall ultimately and eternally dwell. Because it says in Hebrews, he is not ashamed to be called the God of those that have renounced all the things of earth and trusted him, because he hath prepared for them a city. So, he prepared for them the promised land, and that's where Joshua took them. And he has promised for us the millennium, and that is yet to come. And he has promised for us a new heaven and a new earth, and that is yet to come. So, you take all of these Jews that are pointing to the temple. Look, this is what we have. I want you to understand what the Savior said about that temple. On one occasion, his own apostles came to him and said, Lord, look at the beautiful stones that adorn this temple. And the Savior said, seest thou not all these things? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be cast down. And in AD 70, that magnificent temple of Herod was visited by Titus and the Roman army, and it was destroyed. And now, what of those Jews that said, look at our temple? The Lord Jesus said, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. But think of those faithful Jews that had turned their back upon all material, beautiful things of earth and had trusted Christ. What did they lose when that temple was destroyed? Nothing. Every blessing that was theirs was still secure. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. And everything that men have on earth is temporary. And everything that's ours in heaven is permanent, and it's reserved. And so, yes, the pressure is great to turn back to the temple, friends, security, social status, but those things are going to be gone. and all that is offered in Jesus Christ remains. That's why they're exhorted in chapter 13 this way. He said, Christ suffered without the gate. They led our Savior outside Jerusalem's walls and crucified him. And the Bible says, he suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And the Jews that have never trusted Christ are calling to those that have, come back to us, you've made a mistake. And the Lord Jesus is saying, as in John chapter 6, when so many were leaving him, he said to his own disciples, he said, will you also go away? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, have I not chosen you? Do you understand? Peter had a chance to go away, but he said, no. And after a failure, he was filled with boldness, and he endured to the end. How do I know? Because the Lord made that prophecy. In John chapter 21, after Peter had denied the Lord three times, the Lord turned to Peter and asked him three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. He said, then take care of my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed them. And he said, Peter, he said, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. He said, but when you shall become old, another shall gird thee. You'll stretch forth your hands, and they will lead you where you do not want to go. This, he said, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Now that is a promise, that though Peter was going to fail at the first, he was going to be restored, and when he died, he would glorify God. Now, that is a worthy promise. I want to be living when the Lord Jesus comes from heaven. But if not, let me in my death glorify God. And so, this is the contest that is going on. All the things that Judaism could offer the Israelites in the day that Hebrews was offered, and everything that Jesus Christ could offer them. And most of the things are accepted by faith, entered into by faith. And it says in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And so, trusting Christ, receiving eternal life, entering into God's rest is faith. And continuing along the way is faith. And what is the victory that overcometh the world? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so it's faith from beginning to end, to trust in the Savior, not visible today, and as Peter says, whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And so think of the day when the Jews saw their glorious temple destroyed, and they had nothing, because all their hopes were bound up on earth. And think of those who were faithful to the Lord Jesus, who when the Savior said, would you go away? With Peter, they said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We know, we are sure, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the kind of faith that we want to have. And if we have it, we do enter into God's rest. We enjoy so little of it, but I promise you his faithfulness on earth. I promise you an enjoyment of 1,000 years when the Savior comes back and establishes his kingdom. And I promise you what Peter said, surely goodness and mercy, what David said, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that house in heaven. Our faith hath great reward. Trust Christ. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for all the exceeding great and precious promises that are ours in Christ. We confess, Father, that man has made so many religions that are comfortable, that allow you to sin with impunity, that have no rebukes for sins that the Lord Jesus would upbraid the people of God for. But we are thankful that thy Son says, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You shall be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. So let us, our God, to accept by faith the life that Christ would have us to live, though it may not be as glorious to the flesh, it may not be as secure to the eye of the flesh as what he offers, but let us understand, Father, that it is more secure because our God is the living God, and we can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. And let us be faithful to the end, so that when thou comest, Lord Jesus, our confidence shall be in thee. And we shall not look back to what we've turned our backs on, sin and the world and all its glamour, but we shall be looking heavenward to that new heaven that thou hast prepared for us, the holy city. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.